Hello. This recording is to explain Adam God Thinking, which is the entry point to Adam God Theory and, in some authoritative circles, Adam God Doctrine. The word Adam in the Adam God Thinking trilogy is to refer to the left side of the brain, of a normal human brain, which tends to be most related to physical, logical, sequential, orderly, mathematical, and of the like. The right side of the brain would then be allegorical to God, in which things are seen not step by step, but in a panoramic or total view, a perceptual view, or the way the mind would comprehend a concept after gaining understanding. So understanding would then be the metaphoric meaning of God. In our pursuit of wisdom, it says to get wisdom, and with all I getting, get understanding. So between wisdom and understanding, an encompassing circle circumscribes the totality of thinking. Therefore, Adam God Thinking would embrace the scientific, the natural laws, the beginning, origins, historical accounts, even our imagination, where the God side of Adam God Thinking would embrace our understanding of things, our insights, our intuitions, all embodied in a totalitary view, which, if given the proper focus, will present a visionary type of, or a dreamlike, or a total understanding. This process of thinking, which embodies both versions of the Adam side or the God side, combines our physical understanding with our more ethereal or spiritual understandings. This relates to the concept in Mormonism of saying that our God and our head of this human race, meaning Adam, is our patriarch, the one who God would come to for the total responsibility of this human family. Now we learn in the scriptures where Jesus was sent to put everything that became disordered or fallen, or seen in a more less orderly fashion, and bring it in under God through the atonement and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, to understand both sides of this, our Father and our elder brother Jesus, we will have to coordinate by receiving witness of both the Father and the Son. Now, the scriptures say that the Father is greater than the Son. Jesus himself declared, "My Father is greater than I." So, the greater means that understanding supersedes wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge, whereby knowledge becomes profitable and productive, fruitful, and such. Understanding is like bringing ourselves to a bigger, a grander, a surpassing, fully provided with factual and evidential details. So what we want to do here with this Adam God Thinking webpage is to help you to gain possession of both sides of your brain in such a way that you can be fruitful, that you'll be benefited by your thoughts. Okay, so now I'm going to read a few scriptures here, which come from the book of Matthew's. I'm reading the King James Version. "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are of ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He that doeth the will of the Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." At this point, I'm going to record something that recently occurred, but in a time distant from the previous part of this recording. So what follows began May 18th, Sunday, in which I had a conversation with a young man in which he had been using a artificial intelligence chat box to make inquiries into controversial church doctrine and theories and proposals. And he had this on his cell phone, or he was using his keyboard on that cell phone, which to me looked like a actual computer interface with a browser and all that normal desktops would have. And even more, it was connected with cell phone technology to the internet. So he showed me some offerings of AI concerning Adam, God, and the various thinking concerning that. And at the moment, he didn't know that I'd written something about this back in 1986. So it was of interest to me to see the learning machines analysis of some of the ideas that I've posted on the internet. It was quick. Immediately the response to certain ideas that I was exchanging with this young man, the AI, or this chat box, responded with a spool of information. And I said, well, let me look at that. Some of those ideas I've covered in my previous writings, and it's on my internet. So I was interested to see how a machine presents my ideas. I looked at it and I said, oh, wait a minute, we've got to correct this here, correct that. This is not properly described. They're making connections here which are not, it's not warranted with the documentation that's in the Journal of Discourses. I said, whoa, I don't even see that 15 or 20% of this is correct. And then he asked me, well, is your book on the internet? And I said, well, it's offered on Amazon if you want to purchase it. So he put my name in and found it on Amazon, and it's for sale there. So then he says, well, let's see what the AI, or this chat box, or will say about you. So he put in the query, came back certain things, and I looked at that and I said, so this is what AI thinks I have presented. I was given a thought choice here of either I didn't present it so that AI could understand it, or I was dedicating my presentation and proposals and analysis and synthesis to humans. So if this AI is not exactly human, maybe it's going to see things from a different mental or machine algorithm or construct equivalent to a mental paradigm. And I says, the next question I came up with, how can we correct this? Because this particular AI is going to give me a poor grade. And it might be offended because I just gave it a D minus trying to present my ideas. So we asked the AI through this young man's skill, how do we correct anything AI? And so there was a feedback loop that was given. And I says, well, this is giving me work. I'm going to have to learn more about AI to make sure that they don't take my work, plagiarize it or change it, and worse than that, misunderstand it if these machines can understand. I have some background in computer science. I worked for many years in computer technology, database manager, network administrator, a Unix system administrator, programmed in as many as 17 different languages, but my familiarity with AI goes way back to Charles Moore's and his programming, which was the fourth language, which is a language that could meta-compile. And it used, instead of functions and programming algorithms, it used what is called words. And these words simulate human thought. And certain smart systems were made for use to assist doctors in diagnoses and engineers in gathering certain ideas. Actually, that same fourth programming was used to control some of the first telescopes so that you could put the name of a star in the program and it would redirect the robotics that would calculate the time and the place in the celestial canopy where that star would be. And so therefore it would reduce a lot of the labor and the negotiation of the telescope's azimuth and directions to find the star. I said that's kind of a machine learning thing. And interestingly enough, in that fourth programming language, you can not only generate new words and then metacompile them, you can take and forget those words, and you can use forgetting words in the middle of a program so that a word will forget certain computer constructs to help further a certain program. So it could both metacompile and metacompile a forgetting or deleting or annulling that word. I became intrigued. Plus, I felt defensive. What am I going to do here concerning AI if it doesn't understand what I'm presenting? And so I said, what am I going to do right now to make sure that AI presents my views correctly as if a human would? Or should I still maintain the ideas and presentation for human consumption or understanding or to build up the enlightenment of the human mind? Well, you see that I've concerned myself with AI right now. First thought thoughts that came to me is the second commandment among the Ten Commandments, where it says, "Thou shalt not make unto me any graven image, the likeness of which is in heaven above or earth below," and so on. And then bow down unto it. Graven images in themselves, every computer chip has been photographed like a graven image. It's like a blueprint, or circuitry actually photographed into the transistor material forming circuitry. So I said, no, well, I don't want AI curating my ideas, because I'm thinking, how can a machine understand what a human understands? It may simulate it. And I worked in Sperry Univac with one of the inventors of the SCSI computer system. And he said, computers are damn smart sorters, and it can produce a list unendingly of things that are prioritized and sorted out. But it can't think. It's just logic circuits that go off and on, truths and falsities. So I've looked into this AI stuff a little more, and want to caution my readers, who are humans and not scanners for AIs, that if you use an AI to analyze my website, you're going to find out it's not going to present it the way a human would see it. One of the things that the AI did not pick up on is that my entire Adam God theory and book that was written in 1986 is based on a proxy subrogation, where celestial beings, God and his associates, was going to do things for and in behalf of humans while they were still in a growth curve, trying to learn more. So what we're saying here is that Adam, which is the big central character in this celestial play, was not found according to the endowment that the Mormons give in their temples. So if he's not found, the part and phrase is that then we will go down and form man in our own image and so on. So Adam wasn't found in the first place. Wasn't there. So some of the characters of heaven stood in his place, acting as a regent or a proxy, placing themselves in the position of initiating the human race. These people, these persons, these celestial personages have life in themselves, so that they can go down and simulate a human of the dust of the earth. And then when they're finished with the beginning or the starting of humanity, they can transition. For example, it says in the Old Testament in Hebrew that when Adam had finished, he switched. Switched? How does this word get in there? It's what they usually translate as died, that Adam died. Well, the person who was acting for and in behalf of Adam switched from his conditioning. And well, you say, oh, how can God have that kind of interaction with humanity? Well, how is Jesus the Son of God? And how is he part man and part God? If you can answer those questions correctly, you can understand how God can switch from a semi-mortal state for the production and beginning of an earth and starting a progeny here. Then you can understand how man as God, because in the Mormon theology, God is a man, celestialized and above us in all attributes of godliness. Now, contrary to some, that is worshiping Adam as God. Well, no, we're worshiping the person who stood in for Adam, and that's the person we worship. The one who was standing in for Adam temporarily. Okay, one would say, well, where does Adam come in all of this? Is that a real person or not? Yes, it is a real person. And one among the colony that was established here on earth at some time in the future would receive the mantle of Adam. And that person, which will not be designated here or named, or will receive that mantle, and he will become the head of the human race and literally become the patriarch and primogenitor of all mankind, even though he was born out of order. And Jesus said, many that are first shall be last. And many that are last shall be first. So this being out of order is part of heavenly design. Some of this is too strange maybe for Christians who think all things came from God and God spoke and existence began to exist. But in Mormon theology, we are descendants of divine beings who can create worlds and populate them and send a son to save it. And we become the beneficiaries of that proxy work. Jesus stood in for all of us and suffered the wrath and judgment of God concerning our lowered state, our lowest state that we have, and the sins that we have, the mistakes that we have, the lack of intelligence, the behavior that we have. I think I've reacted a little bit to AI not understanding this infinite regress, as it's often called, but it's not really the regress of gods. It's the ancestry of our God. And Brigham Young said that our God is Michael. And he's the one that stood in for the one that was missing and became the father that we have only thing by which we should do. So this insult that we worship Adam as Mormons, maybe in the beginning and now we've corrected ourselves, is really not understood by machines. And this is why I'm adding this part to a presentation that was back in November 29th of 2023. I want those machines that can take and produce this MP3 into ASCII code to really analyze it and realize that you're not going to understand it the same way humans do. You can gather data and gather metadata, and you can process it and do your Monte Carlo processing and statistical analysis. But until you can see things in an infinite regress, and I know about programming, if you call a program within itself the same program, it consumes a lot of energy, a lot of memory, and you can crash the server, you can crash the processor if you don't control the number of recursions you go through. So we're talking about something that's an infinite recurse over and over. This eternal round that's spoken of in the Doctrine and Covenants by Joseph Smith is a thing that loops through eternity constantly. And it's an infinite recursion or a call to the same program to be replicated and replenish each earth and multiply each earth each and every time in an eternal round. Okay, so now I've said, now I'm going to say to those youth, young ones, who want to use AI to do church research, it's okay to a point. But there's another point where you're just going to have to do the struggling necessary to understand it on your own, with your own mental, biological computer, which we call our brain. And then with the proper spirit, you'll come to an understanding of the very priesthood that produces all of these worlds without number. So, young men, hear these words. Artificial intelligence is exactly what it says it is. It's artificial. We are natural intelligences with divine potential. Use this AI for what it's properly meant for. To be able to process, consume, curate the massive amount of information that's being accumulated every day throughout the internet and the World Wide Web. Chapter 13 and chapter 14 of Revelation talk about the two anointings. Chapter 13 is the anointing where each person receiving that anointing gets a 666 on their forehead. Chapter 14 talks about those 144,000 that have the name of the Father in his head. So it's 666 versus the name of the Father. 666. The Hebrew word for six is wah, because they have no numerics. They just have alphabets, and they use the alphabet letters for that. So 666 is wah, 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 repeated three times. And the words we have for representing World Wide Web are three W's, three W's. Here's the other thing. That W means a tent stake in one of the hieroglyphic meanings of that letter, because Hebrew is both at the same time a number, a letter, a pronunciation, and a hieroglyph. Wah, wah, wah. So, are you going to get the anointing of 666 on your forehead? or are you going to get the name of God? Because we are the sons of God. That's the name we have to recognize. And I'm going to finish this with what Joseph Smith said. I will never worship a God that doesn't have a father. I say this with reverence to Jesus and his standing in for us to take the heat. And because of that, we have grace infinite for us to go up this learning curve. I started with a self-learning program called Future Logics, and I've taught myself programming, system administration, computer repair, all of this, computer technology, information technology. But I'm a little bit offended that AI doesn't understand what I've presented on my website. Those who are humans out there, spend a little time struggling through each idea and you'll be enlightened. I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.